difference between the Lord Jesus and this man called Nicodemus. It's most vital, if I miss my points tonight in preaching, it's most vital for you at least to retain one statement from this book. The Lord Jesus is the one that spoke it with all authority. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And if you leave my part of the meeting with that ringing in your ears that you can't, my friend, get away from it, I will count it worthwhile standing here for a few moments. If that really lodges deep in your soul, "Marvel not," said Christ, "that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." I want to look at the discourse very quickly, and that will be a few suggestions in it. Number one is this. The Lord Jesus, his deity, is brought out before us in chapter 2. He needed not that any tell him what was in man, for he knew what was in man. That is, friend, I don't have to ask you what your background is, what sin you have committed, where you come from, and all the things that you've done in life. The Lord Jesus has full acquaintance with everyone's life, just as he had when he was here on earth. He's the one that is deity, he's God. He knows all, he sees all. And friend, tonight, as you stand before God tonight and before the Lord Jesus, while you're listening to two preachers, remember this, the all-seeing eye of Christ absolutely and totally knows your whole history. You can't hide it from him. You can't, my friend, bury it. It's all clear to the mind and to the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And so he had his deity. And then we find that this man, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. I will look very simply at the context tonight under four words. And that is, we're going to look at the man. And he's a religious man. And then we're going to look at the mosque. And it is a necessity. And then we're going to look at the message that brought life to this man. Very simply, in verse number 14. And I will close, if God helps me, with the miracle of the new birth. Because I believe, friend, the greatest miracle that ever took place on planet Earth in the lives of men and women and boys and girls is the truth of the new birth. Regeneration. Born from above. It's a miracle of the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, friend, we're not preaching religion. And we're not preaching reformation. And we're not preaching turning over a new leaf. But we are preaching a new life imparted from God himself. One man has rightly said, men do not need a new start in life. Thousands are trying it. But men need a new life to start with. And that's what we're trying to emphasize tonight in the meeting. You know, George Whitefield, if you haven't read his record, it'll be all right. I've read a lot of them. I get all the books I can about George Whitefield. But there's one thing about the man. He was tremendously used of God. Singularly, probably there was no man through the past centuries had such power with God and power with man. He preached 2,000 sermons, plus thousands more, the 2,000 were preached from John chapter 3. On the truth of a new birth, he preached it constantly up and down England, Scotland, Ireland, across the continent. Everywhere he traveled, that great voice of which he was heard, "Ye must be born again." Somebody said to him one day, "Mr. Whitefield, why do you always preach? You must be born again." He replied, "Because ye must be born again." And my friend, that's the answer I would have for you tonight. You'll never make it to heaven. Never, friend, without the new birth. Everything else will pay. But a man that's born again is destined for glory. Again, the same preacher went to Boston to preach the gospel. Come across in an old ship from the old country, 3 months traveling across the rough seas. Traveled 13 or 15 times in the old boat. When he arrived at the Commons, Boston Commons, he took out his big Bible and he started to preach. Thousands flocked around him. There were 14 to 20 ministers there. Men who were supposed to be preachers. Teachers of the truth of God. And as he stood there and preached the new birth, something that's born again. You know why, friends?
Ministers need to be born again.
Sunday school teachers need to be born again.
Christians' children need to be born again.
Every man and woman, boy and girl born into this world needs to be born again. And heaven are going to be in heaven.
Listen to man before us. Amazing that the discourses with a religious man. Wonderful to see that.
Because it seems that the Spirit of God would pick up the most religious, the most refined,
the most intellectual, the most honest and upright person that could be found. This man was a member of the Sanhedrin.
He was an old gentleman. I was depending on his religion. If I asked him if he was present tonight, and I would say to Nicodemus, can you quote me the law?
The man could quote it
verbatim. Not without any problem, friend. The right now, the whole list. If I asked you tonight, can you quote the law?
You'd probably drop your head and say,
well, if you quote Saul, not Nicodemus, you can quote it all.
Plus, thousands more from the Word of God, friend. He knew his Bible. He was a teacher in Israel. In fact, the right rendering is, he's the teacher of teachers. He stands above the rest. He's well known.
The people of our day would say, and then he's going to heaven, he's going. He's got his religion.
He knows his prayers. He knows the law of God. And he teaches others.
Yet, my friend, that's the man that's before us in John chapter 3. I hope you get a hold of it tonight.
If this man needed to be born again,
and what's you in this gospel?
And I believe very quickly,
as the Lord Jesus from God in the source, I'm not bothered when he came. Some people wonder, why did he go at night and why did he not come at daytime? I let you so when he came. Thank God he came to Christ,
the right source, whether night or day,
morning or noon, as long as you come to the right source, the right person.
You know, Dr. Chalmers, one of the great Scotch preachers,
he preached the law to the people of Christ, and some of them felt like getting onto the seat when he preached. People felt small, he felt almost through the fire.
That man thundered it out.
He was in order. 600 people in his office.
One night he got up to read John 3,
and he said, he's done chapter before he starts to preach. Three things come before him. All will come before you tonight.
You want to wear three questions.
Chalmers, when were you born again?
Chalmers,
where were you born again? And Chalmers, how were you born again? And he read the chapter called Sitting in His Heart.
He went through the little sermon that he had.
And went home to his own little star.
And he down his bended knee.
With the God who granted the night. With every soul that ever pressed. When he said, oh God, I've been preaching the gospel, thinking I was all right for heaven, telling others the message. And he said, I have never been born again.
That man in bended knees,
he said, oh God, I want to be born again. I want to be like this God.
I want to be in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be left out eternally.
And he got out of God, there in bended knees, to a grand text that God used to him.
On that occasion,
Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. How was he born again?
About the next Sabbath or Sunday.
And sit yourself if you look at the background. You say, what the hell? What the hell about that boring guy last week? Or what is this? You know what I saw. So he started to preach. Boy, he was actually hell with preaching Christ.
And in the middle of a sermon, a woman jumped up from the audience
and she says, hallelujah.
In other words, friend, his preaching
was born again.
Corey Ten's real friend. I would love to make it real.
And that you would never, never get away from it, friend.
It's a necessity. This man, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
The must, friend, the must. You, the must that's used here.
That's not the must that he would use day by day.
Like I might tell you, if you come to Nova Scotia,
you must go to Peggy's home. See that beautiful rock.
And it's a tourist attraction.
You must go. That doesn't mean to say you go there. You might even go near.
Or if you go to Ireland from where I come, they'll say,
boy, if you come to Ireland, you must go to the Jack's opera. That's not the must you.
For some people don't care whether they see it or not.
This is a must. You can't be having a dream's plan. If you don't get it, you'll never be a king of God. There's no way around it. You can't be it. God wants you to face it. Nicodemus faced it that night, the old gentleman.
And he heard plain language. Three times over.
You cannot see, you cannot enter. And then this simple statement,
and full of power.
As Christ lovers, marvel not that I said,
someone might well say to me right now,
well, please tell me why do we need to be born again? Because they're your first prayer. The first prayer that you have, friends, never said before heaven, you were born
away from God, friend.
No relationship with heaven, no relationship with the Father, no relationship with the Son, no contact with God with all the prayers you might utter. The first birth,
the first birth had to do with your natural coming into the world.
I was born into the whole family. I had nothing to do with that. Couldn't happen. Born into the home, you were born into your family.
But friend, to get into God's family,
it's not the church, it's not it. It's not anything that we can do, no self-effort.
To be born into God's family needs
a spiritual birth, a moment when you pass from death to life.
A moment when you trust Christ and you know that you've got eternal life. You see, friend,
I hope someone will first to that family tonight, the family of God. I remember as a boy, I was brought up in a town called Newark, a little town. We had much. In our home, those were parallels. I don't know much about them, but my parents did. We had enough to eat, and the bowl was soon at a long leg, you know, we put more water in, and drank the whole family. And, you know, I remember the little fella used to play this. His name was Eddie Cross.
And Eddie,
he had boxing gloves, he had bicycle, he had
everything he wanted, he just had it.
I remember sometimes that I wished I was a crow.
Wished I was a crow.
Not a hole. A hole is not. We hardly get 5 cents.
We get something to eat, we get a bed, and have a good home and all, but
he deserves it. He's a bicycle everything. He's troubled dad, and he wants to eat him and this and that. He has
everything.
So, how special when I'm right away from him. You're stopping out of the town.
And he's away and has his swimming
parks with him, everything. Oh, I was a troll. Was I rich? Everything?
My friend, listen to me. I want you to get the point.
You were born in the wrong family to begin. You were born in the Adam family. That's where you were born. Is that to your language, friend? Do you get that point? You were born in the wrong family. Please don't hide behind any religion or any works or any prayers or anything you've achieved in life, friend. Just stop a moment.
I was born in the wrong family, the Adam family. But I hope tonight you'll have a thirst to get into God's family. That's where all the blessings are. That's where the joys are. That's where the peace is. That's where, my friend, bottom is.
Hope you'll want to get into that party, friend. You can only get into it by the new life. You must be born again.
This man's startled. I know he's startled. He can't understand it. How can these things be?
I've only taken up the city of points in the passage. How can these things be?
The man's baffled with all his religious knowledge and all his intellect and all that he knows, friend, about the law.
He's absolutely baffled. Christ tells him he must be born again. But you know the Lord Jesus, he gives him a message.
I don't know what you think when Nicodemus was born again.
He certainly was born again in this.
And then we will not know exactly until we see that dear man and door.
Because I think we'll have a conversion in you out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
I could try, but this is a conversion out there. Well, I said they're all real.
They're all genuine. They all entered God's family.
We'll all go back to a moment when it happened. When the transaction was done.
My friend, here's this man. And the Lord Jesus gives him a very clear message.
With all his darkness, and with all his religion, and with all his good works, and with all his prayers, he heard a simple message. Nicodemus, if you are going to be born again, and you must, listen to this message I have for you today.
It's the same message we have for you, friend. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness,
even spoke, but on a time a little longer. I believe that's where you have started.
Because this man knew the Old Testament. You might know about the story in the Old Testament. He knew it so well. When the Israelites were bitten by the Pharisees, by the serpents, and they called upon God, they were dying all around, and Moses interceded and was told to put up a fiery serpent, brazen serpent on the pole.
And the word to that people was this: whoso looketh to the uplifted serpent, that more he lives. Christ is the Lord Jesus, as Moses lifted up that serpent so many hundreds and centuries ago, even so much the Son of Man be lifted.
I can almost see the man now relating to it.
That's it. Yeah, I remember. Moses lifted up that serpent, they looked.
And now the Lord Jesus is saying, even so must, he hasn't been lifted up yet.
Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth it should not perish.
It seems to me that dear old gentleman, Nicodemus,
understood right there the way to enter the kingdom
is by accepting the message, the word of Christ. You see, friend, the word of God makes it clear
being born again not corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, and the word of God liveth and abides forever.
Two things are operative in every conversion to God:
the Spirit of God and the word.
Those two things are always, they're indissolubly linked. You can't divorce them, friend.
They're cemented together. The Spirit of God takes that word,
brings it in living power to the soul of that poor, lost, perishing sinner.
And what happens, friend, you know what they do? They believe the word. You know, friend, believing the word is like believing the sock.
The moment I took the man's word, forgiven, he lifted me. I want to ask you tonight
three questions. Do you know the back tonight or what city of America?
Has to be, friend.
Once in the broad road, now I go to heaven. Once in darkness, now in light. Once under the sentence of death, now in eternal life.
Once on the road to hell, now on the road to heaven.
Friend, tonight I hope before this meeting is over that you'll come to recognize I'm just a Nicodemus. He is no creator standard of order.
lost sinner for you to fall. And I must be born again. There's no way around it. I have to let that sink into my mind. I must be born again.
And I hope tonight the message, as it continues, will point you to Christ tonight. For trusting Him, that's what it means to be born again. Taking Him at His word. And you know tonight, if you leave the meeting of that attitude, you're just saying, this is in here.